And now it's a P's duet, and they still say no. So it's a. Let's go and get our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter number 8. Luke chapter number 8 this morning. We began this thought of growing closer to the Lord a few weeks ago with the story of blind Bartimaeus. We talked about not letting trials get in the way with the story of Job. We talked last week about getting to Jesus and bringing friends to Jesus with the story about the man that had the man sick of the palsy that had his four friends carrying him to Jesus. This morning, we're going to finish up kind of the series of thought there by looking at three different groups of people inside the same story of Luke chapter number 8. And the reason why we keep on bringing up the same thought pattern in a series of messages is because repetition helps us learn, but also reminds us of the things that maybe God spoke to our heart a few weeks ago. I pray that, you know, when we talk about blind Bartimaeus, we talk about the crying out and getting to Jesus, hopefully that would encourage us to get to him. Hopefully that would encourage us to grow closer. But my question is, in the last 3 weeks, have we grown closer? There is one thing to come up and hear preaching and teaching of God's word and even have God speak to our hearts and God open up some of our understanding about a truth, but then there's something completely different from taking it from being an intention or a desire to actually making it happen. So that's the reason why you continue to be on the same thought process for a few weeks. And the idea of, well, as we grow closer to our friend day, you know, we need to get to Jesus. We need to make sure that we're right with him and he is a special friend to us, but also Lord and Master. But also that way, as we have this friendship, we're going to want to tell other people about him too. So have we gotten closer to him in the last 3 weeks? During the month of August on Wednesday nights, we talked a little bit about Bible study and the Word of God. And we've been trying to build up to this thought is that I need God in my life. He needs to be number one in my life and be really, really important. And here you're going to see the story of three different groups of people as Jesus and how they respond to the Lord. Verse number 35 is where we're going to start at. Now, we have to give, because of the fact that the sake of time and how long the passages of Scripture are, we're going to tell you what has happened up to this story. Most of you that are here this Sunday morning probably have some Bible knowledge. And when I mentioned the maniac of Gadara, you're going to remember that's the wild man that Jesus had tamed by casting out the demons. And so remember how the demons were cast into the pigs and the pigs ran down the side of the mountain and they all died in the ocean or died in the water. And here in the sea, in verse number 35, the people of the country, the people of the area are coming to see what happened. It says verse number 35, then they went out to see what was done, referring to the townspeople, because the people who was in charge of the pigs. Now remember, the pigs are not something that the Jewish people were allowed to mess with. They are kind of illegal pigs in the fact of God's law. The townspeople come out. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. If you're familiar with the story, this demon-possessed man was a wild man. He would terrorize the community. He would do different things out, and they tried to tame him. They tried to chain him. They tried to do whatever they could to get him to come back to his right mind. So they come out, they hear what's happened, they hear all the pigs have ran down the mountainside, and that they come out to see what in the world's going on, and they see this wild man sitting with Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. So what do you think the people's response is? They're going to be excited, right? They're going to be, man, we've been trying to work with this guy for years. This guy has been a terror for years. Now he's okay. Praise the Lord. Let's learn of this man. Well, if you know this story, that's not how it works. Verse number 36, the Bible says, they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils were healed. Then the whole multitude, in verse number 37, of the country of the Gadarenes, round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now, I want you to think about that. These people have seen a miracle happen, and what their response was, you got to get out of here. They looked at Jesus, the one who has just healed this maniac of Gadara, and they're saying, we want you to leave. Now, in this area of the Gadarenes, there must have been sick people. There must have been people that were in need of Jesus and what Jesus could do that could bring the healing he could bring physically, the healing he could bring spiritually. But they said they were taken with great fear, and they come to Jesus and say, we don't want you here. You got to go. You can't stay. And I want you to think about that. What we've been talking about the last few weeks is how much we need to get to him. And there is a group of people that's saying, I don't want you in my life. Let's keep on going and see what happens here. And as the story says, he does what they ask. He returned back again. Now in verse 38, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. So he desires, this maniac that has turned into a missionary, desires that he could be with him. And Jesus sent him away saying, return unto thy own house and show how great things God have done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. So they were telling Jesus to get out of here. And this man wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus says, no. They're asking me to leave. You need to stay. And I want you to go home. I want you to return to your family. And I want you to tell them all the great things that God has done for you. And there's a picture here that Jesus, they were sending away, but there was someone who had been changed by Jesus that was able to go back. And that's what Jesus is saying. Hey, look, it's good to follow after me, but I got a job for you. I want you to return home. I want you to tell everyone everything that God has done for you. There are some places that a preacher might not be welcome. There are some places that a deacon or a Sunday school might not be welcome. But there are places that we need to return home to, and that we need to praise the Lord and thank God for all the things that he's done. And that's what Jesus is saying. Look, I'm not staying here, but I got to go. And you know what? Later on in the Gospels, you know what you find out? That there's people waiting for him. That means that this man, this maniac, has gone and he's become a missionary, as it says. And he went from being crazy to someone who's in love with the Lord. And it says in verse 39, and he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done in them. Verse 40, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Those two different pictures. You got one people saying, you got to get out of here. And there's somebody on the other side of the water saying, please, we're waiting for you. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, come. See the difference? We live in a world that's saying they don't want God in their life. They don't want to have anything. The name of Jesus Christ offends them. But there's a whole other group of people in the world who knows Jesus and who loves Jesus. And they say, man, we're waiting for you. We need you, Lord. We need you in our lives. And it's amazing, the two different thoughts there. Let's keep on going. In verse 41, and behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at the feet of Jesus and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying, but as he went, the people thronged him. So Jairus, however you say his name, he runs at Jesus' feet. He hears Jesus' back. He runs, and he knows he can't fix his daughter on his own. His one only daughter is lying on a bed somewhere, and she is lying a dying. She is laying there getting ready to die, and he knows that Jesus can help him. And he comes and he begs Jesus. But it says in verse number 42, the people thronged him. Now, the idea of thronged means that he was so surrounded by people, they were shoulder to shoulder. You ever been to those places that are shoulder to shoulder? You can't get any, I like my space. I'm not the smallest guy in the world, so I like my space. But you get to something like a Black Friday, and they open up those doors, and they're pushing people in, and it's like you ever seen those videos where they're actually knocking things over just to get to those special deals? It's craziness, but I imagine that's what they're talking about, throng. They're there, they're just kind of walking and bumping into each other, and Jairus is there, and Jairus is like, my daughter's dying. What are these people doing? They're slowing Jesus down. And Jesus, as he went, the people thronged him. Let's keep on seeing what happens here. You picture it as Jesus walking. He's surrounded by people, and he's shoulder to shoulder, can't get there very fast. And it says, verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. So there's another lady that's introduced in this character in this story. You have a lady here who has an issue of blood. Give you a little background here. This means that she was continually hemorrhaging, talking about ladies' issues with blood that's there. And she had gone to the physicians, And she had spent all her living. She had no more money, and they were not able to help her. Now, this lady, because of this issue of blood, would have been kind of an outcast. She would not have been allowed to go to the synagogue. According to the laws, she would not have been allowed being around people very often or very much, especially in the synagogue. She would have been considered a social outcast. For 12 years, Jairus has his daughter, who has probably brought light and love and just wonder to his life. But this woman has been dealing for 12 years with this horrible disease when it comes to blood. He says in verse number 44, it says, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was staunched. So this woman, who would have been weak because of her condition, somehow, some way, despite the fact that they were thronging him, they were so much crowded around people, somehow she was able to reach out and she was able to touch the hem of his garment. She understood the same truth that Jairus did. She had to get to Jesus. She understood the same truth that Bartimaeus did, that there was no other hope and there was no other help unlike what Jesus could give. Verse number 45, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" So Peter and the other disciples are there, and they say, "Jesus, everybody's been touching you. Everybody's been bumping into you. Everybody's been around you. Everybody's been bumping into everybody. What do you mean, who touched me?" But Jesus wasn't being foolish when he asked this. He knew exactly what he was talking about, and the woman who had touched him knew exactly what she was talking about. And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me. I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And he's referring to the power that it took to heal. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. And she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Now remember, all this is happening. All this takes time. Jesus is there. He turns around and says, "Okay, who touched me?" And, you know, everybody said, "Not me, not me, not me." Where's Jairus at? Remember who Jairus is? Jairus is the one that has the daughter that's lying on the bed, getting ready to die, came to Jesus first, besought Jesus, begged Jesus, "Come, heal my daughter." And there's some type of interruption here. I'm sure Jairus is over there wondering, "Jesus, come on, come on. Go, let's go. Who cared who touched you? My daughter's over here. She's lying and she's sick and she's dying and you need to get there." And Jesus is spending time with this woman. Let's see how the story goes. While he yet spake, actually verse 48, excuse me. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace." So she has, because of her faith, of getting to the Lord and knowing that she could get to him, that faith has made her whole, and she can go now in peace, and she's been healed, as we saw earlier. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." And I'm sure Jairus' heart drops there. He says, "Hey, don't bother him anymore. Your daughter's dead." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Lord, give us the word to say. Lord, prepare our hearts, our minds, the preaching and teaching of your word. Let the Holy Spirit have free reign in our hearts, Lord, to show us the things we need. Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, we pray they come to a saving knowledge of you, that they understand their need and how great of a need they have and how they need to get to Jesus. And Lord, as we consider these different people, help us not to be in the group that's pushing Jesus away. Help us also to learn from this lady who doesn't let anything stop her. But also help us, Lord, to learn as Jairus and his family had to learn, the truth that Jesus doesn't always answer the way that we might think he should, but he always answers the way that we need. And Lord, help us to have that faith. Help us to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. So inside the story, there's three different groups of people, and I want to focus mostly on the lady. But inside of this, I also want you to see a couple other things. As we already mentioned, one's to the people from the Gadarenes. they were pushing Jesus away. They were saying, I don't really need him. We don't want what you have to offer. We see what you've done. We see what you accomplished. We see what you've done in this man's life. But because we do not understand what you've done in his life, because what the Bible's saying here is that they were, if you look back in verse 37, they were taken with great fear. Because they did not understand what Jesus was able to accomplish and what Jesus was able to do, they push out Jesus altogether and say, we want nothing to do with you because of what you've done, because we're afraid of what you've done. In my mind, they weren't really fearful as much as they were that they lost their pigs and they were upset. They were upset about what else they might have to lose. They were fearful what else this man might be a part of. But I want you to think for a minute, and I think it's an important thing to remind ourselves of, is think about the people in the Gadarenes. They need the Lord. And think about it. Jesus is there. He has the ability, as we've seen throughout the gospel. He's there. He's able to heal the sick. He's able to raise the dead. He's able to feed the multitudes. He's able to speak unlike any other person has ever spoken. He's able to do things physically and spiritually. They need him. They said they don't want anything to do with him. Our world's filled with people like that today. We don't want him in life. We don't understand him. We're afraid of what God might do or what God might ask me to do. We need to understand that we don't be like this people. We don't need to push him away just because we don't understand what God's doing and how God's moving. Instead, we need to run to him. Just like Jairus understood, Jesus has the help I need. This lady with this issue of blood understood, Jesus has the help that I need. And instead of pushing Jesus out of our lives just because we don't understand a certain portion of what's going on and we might not recognize or understand what Jesus is trying to do, it might cause us some type of hardship. It might cause us to lose something. We can't say, Jesus, no, I don't want you in this part of my life. Instead, we got to be running to him. We got to learn from him. We got to understand from him. And I'm afraid there's two different groups of people that push Jesus away. Number one, those who do not know him. Those who do not understand who he is. Those that do not know the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ came to this world to die for the lost sinners like me and like you. He loved us so much that he was willing to die on a cross to pay our sin debt for us. And by him and him alone is a person able to get to heaven. There is no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. And he even says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Don't push him out in your life. Don't try to get rid of him. Don't say, I don't need him. In all reality, he's what you need most. Stop saying, hey, I don't understand it. I don't see it. I only hear that the Bible says you can do this and you can't do that. It's all a book full of rules. There's no way I want to turn to God. No, we all need him. And as you know him, you begin to love him. And as you begin to love him, you want to serve him and realize we owe him everything. And you see here in the story that there's a group of people that are just pushing him out, those that do not know him. But what makes me concerned is when there's believers today that try to push him out of their lives. They don't want to have anything to do with him. Don't got time to pray. I don't got time to read my Bible. I don't got time to allow you. I got to do this. And they're pushing him out. They're saying, hey, we don't need you here. You can go ahead and leave. We don't need you in this area of our life. We're okay, Lord Jesus. Just go ahead and go back to the other side. Whew. I mean, that's a troublesome thought there, but how many of us don't take time to pray? How many of us don't take time to read the Bible? How many of us don't care about certain areas of our life that we corner off and say, I don't want God here. I like this part. We're pushing him out. Don't push him out. I know we might not always understand, and I'm not going through what some of you are going through, and I know the struggle is real, and I know it's hard, I know it's tough, and some of the things are overwhelming, but don't push him out of your life. Learn of him. Meek and lowly. He can give you rest. Second thing, I want you to think about this lady. And the story of this lady is pretty easy just to read and tell. This lady's been struggling. She's been an outcast. This is something that would be physically painful for these 12 years. But she understands something. She hears about Jesus. I don't know about you, but somebody has to tell you about Jesus, right? Somehow she heard about him. Praise the Lord for the person that told me about him. Praise the Lord for the person that told you about him. We talked in Sunday school class this morning, gave a little bit of a testimonies about people and how you got to church and how you did this, and then, you know, the person that invited you to church and the person that got you there. And we went through some of the stories, and I talked about some of the stories I'd gone through and just being faithful in the way. And some of the other people were saying, you know what, this person invited me. And then it was kind of neat. One person said, my daughter-in-law invited me. And then that guy sitting next to him said, well, that guy invited me. And it's nice. How does people get to church? How do they learn about God? It's because somebody told them. We're going to have a baptism here in just a few minutes, and Mr. Richard's going to get baptized. And I tell you the story about Mr. Richard. I met him at Sonic one night. The Ackley kids were playing over in the playground, and the teenagers were playing volleyball. And the Lord kind of spoke to my heart, go talk to that older man sitting there. And I didn't want to. I was busy. I had things. I was trying to keep the Ackley kids under control. And that's a really hard thing to do, right? Yeah, see? I'm joking. But Todd was playing volleyball, and since I would much rather talk to the kids than play volleyball, I was over there watching him, and I sat down, and I talked to Mr. Richard for a few minutes, and Mr. Richard said, you know, I told him I was a pastor. He said, you know, God sent you to me. He says, what do I need to do to be saved? Things like that. And I, after talking with him for a little while, he had already accepted Christ a few weeks earlier. And like I said, he's going to get baptized here in a little while. But it was just being faithful, letting the Lord. And there's stories like that all along. I talked about people that were here today because they knocked on their door or gave a tract. And it's not about me. I told the Sunday school class, I'm ashamed because I think our church could be a lot more full if I was better at that and if we were better at it. But we remember somebody had to tell us about Jesus, and how come we don't tell others? Told them the story about how someone came about my mom's house and asked my grandmother, can I take your little girls to church? And that's where it started. They got saved at church, and their family's all in church and serving the Lord. And, you know, same thing with my dad. It all starts because somebody told somebody. How come we're not telling anybody? Now, I know not everybody. I know some of us are. But how come we're not doing it more? And it was kind of neat to hear this person say, this person told me about it. One of the stories about how her niece got on the bus route and got mom and dad saved, and or at least mom saved, and mom told us about it, and we got saved. And you know, it's amazing about how God will work and move when we realize that we need God in our life. We should be faithful with it. This woman understood this truth. I need to get to God. It's kind of interesting in verse 45. Draw your attention there. It said, and Jesus said, who touched me? What I like about this woman, I mean, I have a little outline about her. She was diseased, she was desperate, and she was delivered. But probably the whole story, I like that little phrase, who touched me? Because we talk so much about how God speaks to us and how God touches our heart and how God touches us. But this was turned around. It was, who touched me? Who took the effort to go for it? Now, everybody else was there. Everybody else was part of the group. They were thronging him. And they were, Jairus was coming and saying, look, I need you to come and touch my daughter. He even says that in the book of Mark. You know, I need you to come lay your hands. I need you to touch. But Jesus says there was someone that had the faith to touch him. Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that the Bible speaks about seeking after him, about searching for him. The Bible even says about a certain time when the father came and the boy could not get healed by the disciples. And then the disciples asked later on, well, how come we couldn't heal him? He says, that kind is only by prayer and fasting. Saying that there was something that was spiritually a struggle that needed to have more seeking, more praying, more fasting. And that says that this woman understood the truth. I need to get to God. I need to reach out and touch him. I need to get a hold of him. Now, don't get me wrong. God is there. If we have a clean heart and a clean spirit and we can communicate with the Lord, he always hears us. He answers our prayers, yes. But there is something that has been told, and you can seek in the Bible, of a spirit, of one that is searching and one that is reaching out to him and one that is humbling themselves and one that is turning from their wicked ways, as it talks about in 2 Corinthians 7:14, and that he's seeking the healing of the land. There was just more than a an obvious prayer. It was someone that was in desperate need and knew that God could only answer that prayer, and they were going to get to God no matter what. And Jesus said, that person touched me. Didn't say that that lady, I touched that lady, that I ministered to him or her, but she touched me. Wonder when's the last time we reached out for the hem of his garment? When the last time when we understood, like this lady and like blind Bartimaeus, I need to get to God and I'm going to take whatever it takes. Can you imagine this? The crowd is packed and they're thronging him, it says, and they're pressed against him. And you know, somehow, some way, she gets through this crowd and is able to touch Jesus. She does not let any obstacle or any problem stop her. She got to him. I know some of this is just going to go over some of our heads and be like, what are you talking about, Pastor? But to some of you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You got needs. You go down your prayer list. I go down a list of our church members, and my heart breaks, and I'm thinking, you know, there's this person going through this, and this person going through this, and this person going this. Man, I need to get to the Lord. I need to pray for him. I need to do what I can to be a help, to be a blessing. What I need to get to him. He's more important than anything else. I need to understand. I need to grab a hold of him. Get his attention. And that's a person that has a contrite spirit, a person that has a contrite heart, a person who's willing to set things aside in order to get to the Lord and say, I need to spend time with him today. Who touched me? When's the last time that you reached out and touched him in a way by faith, believing that God is going to do something in your life? The third person I want you to think about, not just the land, the people, the Gadarenes, not just this lady, but Jairus. I don't know about you, if I'm Jairus and I'm there, I'm chomping at the bit, my little girl's at home dying, and I'm tapping my foot, I'm thinking, come on, I had him first. You can come back and deal with her later. You need to get to Jesus. You need to get to my daughter. Come on. I'd be worked up. I'd be ready. And then when that servant comes and tells me, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. Whew. You know, sometimes God doesn't answer the prayers the way we think he would. Sometimes God is going to try to teach us something through this all. And don't know, and once again, I don't have the mind of God, but I'm sitting there and I'm thinking that Jesus is talking to this woman with the issue of blood, and she's been sick for the 12 years. She's had the daughter for 12 years. He is dealing with her. He sees her faith. Her faith was one that reached out and touched him, and he is helping her at the same time he is helping Jairus. At the same time, he's interested in helping all that are seeing. He is trying to explain to them the faith that this woman had and the result of that faith, and he's trying to build Jairus up here. He's trying to build Jairus up here, and he's saying, you have faith to believe that I can heal your little girl while she's laying in a dying. But do you have the faith to believe that I can raise her from the dead? He's trying to increase his faith. He's trying to say, look, yes, you believe I can heal her this way, but look at the phrase. Look what when he hears this, his heart is broken. But look what it says in verse number 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. He's saying, look, you do not understand right now, but I can heal her. Even if she's gone. Sometimes in our life and in our stories, and the story that is being written that's called our life, our faith struggles. Now, Jairus could have said, Jesus, I don't even think you need to come to my house. My daughter's sick and dying. All you got to do is speak the word. There's other spots in the Bible somebody did that. But he doesn't. And he's there, and that whether Jairus believed that he could heal her or not doesn't matter. The other guy said, you don't need him anymore. Now, go back to the first group of people. The Gadarene said what? I don't need you anymore. They don't need you anymore. Go ahead and go. The servant is telling Jairus, you don't need Jesus anymore. And guess what? He needed Jesus that moment greater than any other moment in his life. He needed his daughter had died, and there was no other way. There's no other hope while she was still alive. Maybe some type of miracle could have happened, but there was such a great need. And the man saying, He can't do that. Don't listen to people that don't understand what the Lord can do. Don't listen to the devil tell you, oh, that person doesn't need Jesus, or that person's not going to be interested, that Jesus can't make a difference in that person's life, that Jesus can't help that person. There's no way that person is going to have a breakthrough. Don't listen to it. Have the faith like Jesus said in verse number 50. He said, fear not, believe only. The people of the Gadarenes, they were afraid. They said, we don't want anything to do with him. The servant says, hey, don't bother him anymore. He can't help you anymore. Jesus is the only hope and the only help we have. We have to get to him. We got to stop letting circumstances dictate how much time we spend with the Lord. We got to stop allowing the things of this world that the Bible tells us not to love to dictate my relationship with God. I got to stop letting friendships, I got to stop letting responsibilities dictate what I'm going to do with my Lord and Savior. We need to learn that the most important thing we can do is get to him, spend time with him. So I see these three different groups of people. I see the Gadarenes that did not get the help they could have had. But the cool story in that missionary story is that maniac went around. He published it all throughout that when Jesus was coming back the next time, they gladly received him. Praise the Lord for the one that can make a difference. So you can make a difference. Even in your area of people who said, I don't want him, just get rid of him. You can say what you want, but I know what he's done for me. God's been good for me. God's made a change in me. And because of the change that God has made in me, he can help you too. You can make a difference in someone else's life, just like this, what we call the maniac did. And when we see the faith of this lady who did not let obstacles, and Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? I wonder how many of us this week really need to spend some time alone and say, God, I really need to get a hold of you. I know I have all these problems. I know I need you, but I haven't spent the time in prayer. I haven't spent the time in fasting. I haven't cleaned up my life enough to be able to hear from you and see you work. God, I need to draw nigh unto you this week. And then how many of us are in that third group? We're sitting there and we're wondering, can Jesus really do that? We got people around us like the servant that says, hey, don't bother him anymore. God can't help with that. And we're struggling with our faith. We're saying, you know what? Should I really be a witness? Is it going to make a difference? Is there really going to be a change in that person's life? Should I keep on praying? Can God really come through here? And Jairus is there and he's watching, was helping with this woman, and he's thinking, God, that Jesus should have came at that moment and at that time. He should have just ignored the woman, he should have ignored the crowd and did whatever he could to get there and take care of my problem. But when God doesn't take care of our problem just like that, we learn something while we're waiting. And while we're waiting, we learn that sometimes God can do more than we ever thought or ever asked. Once again, Jairus could have said, Jesus, my daughter's sick. She's lying home. You're welcome to come to my house, but you don't even need to come to my house. All you got to do is speak the word and she'll be healed. He didn't have that faith. He needed her to come. He needed her to touch her. He needed him to touch her. He needed those things. And when it didn't happen the way that Jairus thought he would, everybody else was saying, that's a shame. If he would have done it differently, sort of like what Mary and Martha said to Jesus when about Lazarus. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But Jesus knew it was all for God's glory. And sometimes when we're in that third group and we're waiting on God and it seems like he's taking too long, God's trying to get glory out of the situation. God's trying to get glory and help him understand we need to get to him. That woman understood that, and she taught him something. And don't get me wrong, Jairus got there, and Jairus knew he needed Jesus, and Jairus knew that Jesus had to get to his house, but there was a faith that he wanted to grow that not only could he heal his daughter, he could raise his daughter from the dead. Well, praise the Lord that not only can God do the things that we think he can and should, God can do a lot more than that. He can do more than we ever ask or think. And I don't know what your prayer list is like, but when you maybe need to stop praying for the little things and start praying, you know what, God, that relationship, instead of telling me to pray to be good during a relationship, Lord, I want you to heal that relationship. God, instead of asking me to just fix a little thing, God, why don't you take care of the whole problem, the whole issue. and have faith that God can do the impossible. Like we learned at Bartimaeus at the beginning, he didn't ask for that seeing eye dog. What did he do? He said, God, I want you to restore my sight. I want you to do only the things that God can do. And this morning, as we get ready to understand, as we approach to our special meetings and our special days, and hopefully a great day on our friend day, we have to get to them. We got to stop trying to think we can do everything on our own. We got to throw the pride out the window and say, and get like this woman who was desperate, and get like Jairus who's desperate, and say, God, I need you. I need to get you to you. I need you to help me in every area of my life. If you're here this morning and do not know Christ, you're worse off than either of these people are. They have a knowledge of him, but do you know him? This morning, as that Jesus said, who touched me? It's a little bit different than saying, man, Jesus touched my heart today. Jesus spoke to my heart. And those are all good things. I'm thankful when the Lord speaks to my heart. I am thrilled. I'm excited. I praise the Lord. But when they said, who touched me? It made me think there was someone that was seeking him and pursuing after him and searching him. And she got a hold of him. She got the help she needed. And Jesus demonstrated that. Don't be like the Gadarene saying, I don't need God in my life, and push him out. There are a lot of lost people that do that. And there's even some saved people that say, there's certain areas of my life, Jesus, you're not welcome. We need to get that right. We see the woman who said that sought after God and said, God responded by saying, who touched me? Are we truly seeking after him? Not just at church, it's with our whole heart, our whole life. And then we see Jairus had a sample of faith, came to him, but he had to learn the truth that not only can God help with the areas I think he can do even more. And we should be praying and asking God to do the more in our life, letting God do the much more that only God can do. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, for a time of invitation.